friends.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do the time. Okay, hi everybody. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Welcome, first of all, to our class session. I know I keep looking at that clock, but it's stopped at 20 after, so 6. So it's not the right clock here. I'll watch my phone to make sure I get the right time. My name is Sarah Barton, and I'm the university chaplain here at Pepperdine. And I really wanted to put together this class just because I am so enthusiastic about what's happening at Pepperdine and all of the great things that are going on associated with spiritual life. Our students who attend Pepperdine are growing in their spiritual lives, are serving and leading in just innumerable ways while they're here on our campus, and then when they leave Pepperdine, the stories we could tell about all the things that students are doing are just very, very exciting and great to be a part of. So thank you for showing interest in the Christian Mission of Pepperdine and for being here this morning. I will just start with probably maybe a few facts that we all are familiar with already, but it's good to just get a little bit of context. Pepperdine was originally founded in 1937 as a Los Angeles campus, and it has since serving undergraduate students and has since grown to include 5 schools. Many people think primarily of Seaver College, which is our undergraduate 18 to 22-year-old part of our university, but we also have the School of Public Policy, the Graduate School of Business Management, the School of Law, and the Graduate School of Education and Psychology, some of those who meet here on this campus, but we have other campuses throughout the Los Angeles area. And so we are talking at Pepperdine not only about Christian mission when it comes to undergraduate students here at Seaver College, but about what that means in our graduate schools and for our students who go through all the various programs that we have throughout Los Angeles. George Pepperdine, in his dedicatory address, said, "I am endowing this institution to help young men and women prepare themselves for a life of usefulness in this competitive world and help them build a foundation of Christian character and faith which will survive the storms of life." And so we still often quote George Pepperdine around here. And one of the things that's distinctive about Pepperdine and that you'll pick up on as you hear the panelists that I brought together today is that from the very beginning, while George Pepperdine and other founders really wanted to honor the heritage of Churches of Christ, this has always been a place that's open to people who are not from Churches of Christ, very open, welcoming place, and for people who are from various religions. And so from day one, that was an assumption that Pepperdine would serve widely, but still find ways to honor the heritage of Churches of Christ. As you can imagine, that brings with it all kinds of challenges, but it's an exciting challenge to be a part of, and one of the reasons that I love working here. The mission statement adopted in 1999 affirms that Pepperdine is a Christian university committed to the highest standards of academic excellence and Christian values, where students are strengthened for lives of purpose, service, and leadership. And so those words, purpose, service, and leadership, we talk about so much that I think sometimes we almost, like students, sometimes I wonder, okay, are we listening? Purpose, service, leadership, because we talk about it so much, which is actually a good problem to have. We really emphasize what it means to live with purpose, to serve, and to be leaders in this world. Pepperdine's current strategic plan is called Pepperdine 2020, so we're getting closer and closer to 2020 with every year. Boundless Horizons, and it boldly reaffirms the vision for Pepperdine as one with a faith mission. And it has these specific goals. First, to strengthen those components of the university concerned with spiritual formation. So there's a great amount of effort being given to the Center for Faith and Learning, to the university chaplaincy, to campus ministries, to the religion division, to the Office of Student Affairs, to programs like Veritas Forum specifically, to graduate student fellowships, and to encourage greater cooperation between and among all of these different units. I will say that that's one of the biggest challenges we have at Pepperdine, is how to get everybody, even just here on the Pepperdine campus. We all talk about Why is it that we're all working in different, we say, silos, doing our own different things, and some of that I think is just geographic. You have to walk up the hill or down the hill to have a meeting. And so some of that is geographic, and some of it is just that some of the really good things that are going on, we're a very entrepreneurial kind of place, and so all kinds of good things just pop up all over campus. So that's it has its blessings and challenges, both with the fact that there are many, many good things going on in every corner of this university. But we are trying to kind of have some initiatives that bring everybody into contact with each other. For example, I chair the University Spiritual Life Committee, and that committee consists, which is especially led by Provost Mars, who many of you heard speak last night. He has a vision that he's really leading for the University Spiritual Life Committee, and we have a representative from every one of our schools, from the University Church of Christ, from the Center for Faith and Learning, from all of these places I just mentioned, so that we come together and we really talk about how we can work together. Provost Mars, after he became our provost 3 years ago, wrote a white paper, which is about how Pepperdine is seeking to set an open table. And so our president's report really focused on this in 2016, so I got you all copies of that in case you would like to look further to see what Pepperdine means about setting an open table. This gives you all kinds of examples that you could look at later about how we are seeking to welcome people to the table and to full members of being a part of this community while also balancing what it means to be a Christian institution and Christian hosts of this academic enterprise. I also gave you, just from my office, some handouts that we have about the Office of the Chaplain and some of the things that we do with student-led ministries and our convocation or chapel program, and the people that I work with are featured there. So those are the main things I wanted to cover just in a very quick introduction. But the thing I'm most excited about is for you to get to hear stories from actual members of the community who are involved in the things that I'm talking about. We can talk about committees and we can talk about initiatives and mission statements, but I brought together some people who I was drawn to because I feel like they represent a lot of what Pepperdine is doing, who we are, and what we're excited about here. So I'm going to let each one of them introduce themselves as they go, say what they do. When they speak, we're just going to go down the line, starting with Javier Monzon. And they're going to tell you who they are, what they do here, and they were each given, I gave them each a little bit of an assignment of something to talk about, and so they'll each have a specific theme. But I'm really thankful, first of all, that they're all here to speak to us. And after they're finished, yes, we have time, we'll open it up for some questions. So if you all want to be thinking questions as you go, that would be great. So I'll turn it over to you. You can introduce yourself, and then we'll go.
All right. Good morning. I am Javier Monzon. I am a professor of biology here. And I wanted to share with you a story about, from the faculty perspective, about how we here uphold the Christian mission of the university. I'll start with a quote. It says, "Nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution." What a remarkable statement. It sounds presumptuous and even arrogant. Even if you don't have an issue with evolution, you cannot ignore how bold and how forceful the statement is. Nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution. It is a statement that I heard very frequently when I was an undergraduate studying biology in a state university. Then I heard it even more frequently as I was pursuing my PhD in evolutionary biology. And frankly, the statement made me a bit uncomfortable. So I decided to do a little research into the quote. So I learned that nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution was the title of an essay written by the evolutionary biologist Theodosius Dobzhansky. Okay, there's no surprise there that an evolutionary biologist would make such a claim. However, I was stunned when I actually read the essay. It is one eloquent four-page argument that affirms the compatibility of evolutionary theory with Christianity. It turns out that all my atheist professors neglected to mention the context of the quote and the faith of its author. So who was Dobzhansky? He certainly was no unknown professor at some small Christian college. He was a renowned professor who worked first at Columbia University and then at Caltech. He was one of the most prominent biologists of the 20th century and recipient of the U.S. National Medal of Science in 1964. He was a figure that should be familiar to every undergraduate student currently studying biology. And he was a Christian. I just completed my second academic year here at Pepperdine. And the summer after my first year, so about a year ago, I had the privilege of attending the new faculty retreat that was organized by the Center for Faith and Learning. And we had an amazing experience there at Buenos Aires. There, we had intimate conversations about our personal journeys, about the ways that God has been working in our lives to bring us to this point in our vocations. And we also discussed practical ways to uphold the university's Christian mission by integrating faith and biblical principles in our teaching. Here at Pepperdine, I teach ecology, zoology, and animal behavior, three branches of biology that certainly don't make sense except in the light of evolution. So how do I integrate faith into my teaching? Early in the courses that I teach, I bring up Dobzhansky, and I bring up his essay, at the end of which he said, "Evolution is God's or nature's method of creation. Creation is not an event that happened in 4004 BC. It is a process that began some 10 billion years ago and is still underway." So I urge my students to grapple with these ideas. I welcome students to speak to me about matters of faith. And I make time in my weekly schedule to have lunch with students. And during these lunches, students are free to discuss any topic they wish with me. But guess which topic often comes up? The relationship between science and faith. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Teller Emmer. I'm the graduate apprentice for the University Church of Christ here in Malibu. And I have the pleasure of working for Dusty and Al over there, who I didn't know were going to be here, so I'm going to have to change everything up. I'm originally from Colorado, and I get to talk today a little bit about my story and the University Church's story and how the University Church has helped shape me and transform me spiritually into who I am today. And it's been a very fun thing to be thinking about for the past several days. Because when I graduated here, I'm a graduate student. I graduated in 2015 and then moved to China to work with home churches for a year, and then came back here to work for the University Church of Christ. And I've been giving a lot of thought over the past couple of years to what Christian communities should look like and come to a couple conclusions. I think that the main central symbol around which any Christian community should be arranged is the cross. But I think that if there's to be a secondary symbol that a Christian community can gather around and adopt as part of their identity, it's a table. So thank you for bringing the open table handouts today as well. And that's something that the University Church does a really good job, and a better job as time goes on, with. So When I was a freshman, I came in 2011 and had no idea how much I was about to grow and change, and by the time I graduated, I was not the same person as I was when I came in. And likewise now, I'm not the same person that I was when I graduated, mostly due to my time with the university church. But as I'm working with the church, I start to realize more and more that we're in kind of a funky place for ministry, and if you're involved in churches in a based out of a university, you probably get the same thing. But half of our church body is here, and is here for the long run, and their kids are here, and they work here, and play here, and live here, like here, they might live just a 10-minute walk up the road. But the other half of our church body is students. They come in freshman year, and they don't really know what's going on. They spend that first year bouncing around like I did from church to church looking for something that fits what they want to get out of a church. Then they choose University Church of Christ just in time to go abroad for a year, and we don't see them until they come back as juniors. And their junior year, they get more involved and plugged in, and then go home for 4 months for the summer. And come back, and then it's their senior year, and they start to check out and pull away because they're about to leave and never come back. So you'd think that it's a very, very difficult situation for students to really plug in and integrate with the church body, and in some ways that's still a huge challenge. However, several years ago, our campus ministers came up with our house group ministry, and it's been hugely transformative for myself and plenty of other students on campus as well, where once a week, 15 or so students go up to a professor's house and enjoy a home-cooked meal provided by the hosts and play with the kids and pet the dog and wash the dishes and sit around a table and just disconnect from campus for a while. And what's so cool about that is to listen in on the conversations that are happening there. Is people are telling jokes and telling stories and talking about the best part of the week, but also the lowest parts of their weeks. And they're getting real with each other and sharing testimonies and praying together and studying the Bible together. And hundreds of students are parts of these groups every semester, which has been a huge, huge blessing to be able to be a part of for me. So I would say that through my participation in undergrad and then my participation now, I've been able to make relationships with older men and women in the church who have come alongside me and done that even more intentionally just with me and asking me questions and pushing me and hanging out with me and making fun of me and being okay with me making fun of them and just goofing around and doing life together. So they've also challenged me to continue that on to do with the undergrad students who I get to work with. So I've had the pleasure of sitting down and eating with and doing life with and learning from and baptizing and joking with and just spending life with undergrad students during my time here. And it's been really transformational. So the biggest way University Church has transformed me spiritually, I would say, is through bringing out the emphasis on the we in our faith and the us in our faith and the collective assembly that's so important to our faith as opposed to just the I and the individual aspects of it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Christy. I work here at Pepperdine, but I used to be a student just a year ago. And I also work as a worship leader. So Sarah asked me to talk a little bit about how Pepperdine, my experience as an undergrad and now working here, has equipped me for ministry. So in thinking about that, I feel like the biggest way for me was definitely through mentorship. And Pepperdine, actually, my experience here totally transformed and shaped in a positive way my worship theology and just expanded it immensely. And I met two wonderful people that Sarah and Dusty know very well. Their names are Taylor and Lauren. They're married, and they're like have been incredible mentors to me in my life. Like, I can't even explain. They're like angels from the Lord. And when I was a sophomore, I was leading worship at a sophomore retreat, and Lauren saw me and my fiance there. Actually, he was playing drums, and I was singing and playing piano, and she connected me to Taylor, and he's the worship leader of a worship experience night that we have here at Pepperdine called The Well. that's sort of similar to what Sarah was talking about, in that it's very unifying. It's supposed to be, you know, we have students from all different church backgrounds, but everybody loves the Lord and everybody worships in a unique way. And it is sort of a space where people should feel comfortable to worship how they please. And so it was a really unique thing to be a part of, and sort of the genesis of it becoming a really sort of consistent worship space for students and faculty to participate in. And I think that I ended up working for Lauren, actually, and running the student-led one on Friday morning, and we had I think as Pepperdine students, actually, three of us, we were really able to have the opportunity to lead and to be pushed a lot. And I think in previous experience or elsewhere, there's a lot of discouragement that can come along. And that was the opposite. What I personally faced here, it was actually pushing me to lead more and encouraging me to step out more in faith and to be more in tune to what the Lord to being faithful to where the Lord has me right now and to be listening to the Spirit. And so it's really an incredible place to be able to work at now and still be a part of that worship community. We actually are all writing songs together, and we're still very much so a part of a group, and they're like my fellowship. So so it's a really sweet thing. It's been a really sweet thing.
Hi, everyone. My name is Fallon Opsahl-Barton. I'm a graduate student now in my second year of grad school doing my MA in religion, but I graduated in 2015 with degrees in journalism and Hispanic studies. I came into Pepperdine originally planning to do journalism and religion, and I fell in love with the idea of going to Buenos Aires for a year, and I figured it'd be easier to convince my parents to let me go if I was a Hispanic studies major instead. So I decided to go that route, but I still had in the back of my mind, I was on a trajectory to graduate in 3 years, so I still had it in the back of my mind to either add a third major of religion or to add at least a minor in religion. And my second semester of my freshman year, right before I was supposed to be going to Buenos Aires, I took Religion 101, which in hindsight was a great class, but to my very new Christian mind was incredibly challenging. I just converted to Christianity when I was a sophomore in high school, and this very historical analysis approach to a religion class really shook my world, and a lot of the assumptions that I had made about what Christianity and theology and study of the Bible was supposed to look like were very much challenged. So I walked out of that class very much like, I don't think a religion major at this school is right for me. And so went to Madrid that summer with Pepperdine, ended up dropping Buenos Aires, came back to Pepperdine in the fall, very much unexpectedly, and took Religion 102 with Kindy DeLong. And that class very much balanced, it kind of reunified the idea of worship and academics coming together in one in the process of studying the Bible, from historical perspectives, from contextual perspectives, and from theological perspectives. And so, and then, of course, I was affirmed later when, at the end of the class, I was sent an email saying, like, you should be a religion major. And, of course, now I know that that email is sent to pretty much everyone who gets a grade, a certain grade or higher. But at the time, I thought it was a very personal affirmation. And so I was like, okay, well, at this point, I have to graduate in 3 years, and I can't fit a religion major. And I felt very, very disappointed because I felt like I'd made the wrong choice for a while there about choosing one path over another. So I ended up graduating in 2015 with my degrees, the degrees I started with, journalism, Hispanic studies. But I wasn't ready to leave. I was going to be getting engaged, and I was just not ready to leave Pepperdine. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and so I started looking at what master's degrees Pepperdine offered. And thankfully, Pepperdine offers a master's in religion, and I thought, this is perfect. This is even better than what I could have originally done as an undergrad, being distracted by all the other things that being an undergrad entails. And so now I can dedicate 2 years of my life purely to studying theology and exploring what role this might have in my life from an academic perspective. So thankfully, I was able to do that. I've been involved all across campus in a whole bunch of different jobs. I've worked for student media. I've worked in IT. I've worked for the Writing Center. I've done research for professors. But this year, I was able to start also working with the chaplain's office. And so I'm a student affairs intern, or AKA grad assistant, in the chaplain's office. I've worked with Gus and Chris in the combo program. I've worked with Eric Wilson, our associate chaplain, on assessment. I have worked and I'm going to work with Lauren, who Christy was talking about, in student-led ministries. So now I've gotten this huge taste of what ministry looks like on a college campus, mixing theology and faith and worship and academics all into one, and it has been absolutely beautiful and given me so much excitement for what the future might have in store when it comes to my vocation. And it was very much thanks to Pepperdine's religion program. By the way, the Religion 101 class was awesome in hindsight. it was a great, great class in hindsight, and in fact has been very, very influential now in my studies, now that I'm a little bit older and more mature in my faith and able to process it in a healthier way and in a more open-minded and grounded way. So absolutely, Pepperdine has been huge. Obviously, I'm here after 5 years, and I've worked the Bible lectures for 4 years. So it's been absolutely huge in my growth.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gus Peterson. I work in the office of the chaplain with Sarah and with Fallon and with other wonderful, wonderful people. My title is Director of Convocation. I have a really weird job. I am at once empowered as a minister, leading our Wednesday chapel services for our community. And on the other side of that, I am kind of a policy hack. I administrate our chapel requirement on campus. So those two go hand in hand and have a lot of nuances I could talk about at another time. Leading Wednesday chapel in particular. Oh, a little bit about myself. I grew up in Seattle. I went to Seattle Pacific University, where I failed chapel 3 times. But in God's wisdom, some of the programs that I was required to go to in the midst of those really difficult years where I was falling flat on my face, some of those programs that I was required to go to were actually deeply transformative and helped me rediscover Jesus in ways I never thought possible. So I really believe in what we're doing. I really believe and can attest to the transformative power of being required to do something, and how the Holy Spirit can be bigger than a chapel requirement. One thing when I first took my job I'm all over the place. I finished my Master's of Divinity at Fuller Seminary in 2012, and I have a background in major event production. I spent time in reconciliation ministry in Ireland, and I spent a long season in the nonprofit sector working with a series of summer camps that serve children affected by cancer. And then now I'm working in the chaplain's office at Pepperdine. One of the things I observed when I took my job a little over 2 years ago was that on the main page for convocation was sort of this statement, this de facto statement of why we do what we do. And it just said, from its beginning, Pepperdine has always had big gatherings. There was no theological intent behind that. There was no community historical traditional intent behind that. So it's been my goal to rediscover the transformative aspects, to have consistent intent, and then to always wonder about, okay, what's informing our intent? What theological assumptions are we making, for better or for worse, that guide our intent, that then inform the manifestations of how we gather? The biggest manifestation of that being Wednesday Chapel, 10 a.m., Firestone Fieldhouse, every week of the academic year, except the week before Thanksgiving. And we do chapel. So anecdotally, I want to tie this up into, there's all kinds of things we can talk about. I'd be happy to chat about it or answer questions. going into this year, we had made a few changes in Wednesday Chapel. We had gone back towards actually gathering in worship, as opposed to having speakers, having presentations, and having announcements was a system that had existed for a long time. So we're singing in worship now. We have people preaching the gospel. And this year we wanted to go a little further down this road of intent and embrace this language of open table. And in meeting with a different university chaplain who came into our office and helped guide us through some workshops and conversations, his challenge to Chris and me, Chris, can you wave your hand? Chris makes all things possible in convocation. He's a wonderful person. In chatting with Chris and me, he challenged us to find a symbol and to find some words that can establish a weekly rhythm for chapel that you'll discover throughout the years. What happens at his school is he lights a candle and has some consistent words that he says when he lights the candle. He challenged us to have a symbol and some words that could start off our chapel service.
But we're determined not to start fires around here.
Yeah.
No,
so ours do not include open flame. So in sort of wrestling with this, praying it through, came to the conclusion, and in conversations, came to the conclusion that we would have because it's a table, open table, we would get a cup and a plate, and there's a little table with a blue tablecloth that sits on the stage with us in the field house every week. And so I did what any good consumer would do. I got on Etsy, I looked up pottery and cool communion stuff and whatever, played cup. And this is like, I was really proud of myself. It's like sort of faded Pepperdine, orange and blue. Because from its beginning, Pepperdine has always. And so I ordered it. I was really excited. It was like a week before our first chapel. And these arrived. I had them shipped to my house for some reason. So when I got home, I was really excited to open them. I picked up the box and it was rattle, rattle, rattle.
Uh-oh.
Rattle, rattle.
No.
So I opened the box and this was in probably about 11 different pieces. And I just put it back down and was really disappointed. And so I brought this, and thankfully the plate was fine. I brought them into my office the next morning and I was just getting ready to send an email to the Etsy seller. A pretty frustrated, entitled customer email that said, you know, I ordered these for an event a week from now. I didn't order 11 pieces of a goblet. I ordered, you know, just stuff like that. And then, praise God, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And it was all spread out on my desk. And it was a little whisper that said, look at what you've got. Put it back together. This is your symbol. And so I went to the bookstore, got some super glue, and prayerfully glued this back together. And I'll pass it around. I don't
know.
One of the things that's, I think, not just a Pepperdine struggle, a Malibu struggle, a Los Angeles struggle, maybe a Western culture struggle, is hiding our brokenness. This strive to achieve, the striving to look perfect. And have it all together. And without even realizing it, I wanted to have a symbol that was perfect and put together. But that negates the gospel. That negates Good Friday. That negates the death of Jesus if we just skip to shiny things. So glued it back together. And that has been what's brought us through the year. And I've shared that with every speaker who I've booked and come in and said, so these symbols, look closely at them because they're broken. And they're brought back together. And if that's not the gospel, I don't know what is. Right? Jesus' power to fuse us back together. And in Jesus' eyes, we don't even have cracks. Right? Mm-hmm. How beautiful is that? And then, funny enough, I had this in my trunk like a week later as a little epilogue. And this broke too. So that's broken. So that's been a wonderful and transformative, I think, not just nuance, but consistent testimony of this last year of a real boldness to embrace, to name our brokenness, and in that discover the wholeness that we find in Jesus. So, thanks.
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks to everybody for participating and for sharing with us. I just gave them each, a little assignment, and I think they all did great in sharing that with us. We just have a few minutes, really, for questions. So I'll ask the first one, then I'll see if some of you have a question. I'm curious, we'll just let any of you who want to take this question. How do you think Pepperdine is doing with our mission statement? Pepperdine is a Christian university committed to the highest standards of academic excellence and Christian values, where students are strengthened for lives of purpose, service, and leadership. And I don't mean this just to be a, yay, rah, everything's great kind of answer, but I guess I'm just looking for, these sometimes people come and they want to hear, hey, what is it really like to be at Pepperdine? So how do you think we're doing meeting our mission statement? And anybody want to go first, or I'll pick Gus? I know he won't mind. Yeah.
Well, I think succinctly I want to say, I think we're doing well, and I think we can always do better. Mm-hmm. One thing for me that I feel is always an area of improvement, I think in the office of the chaplain, we have a lot of opportunity to collaborate with others around campus to sort of break through those silos. But I don't know that the I think the mission state is all about preparing students, which is a very, very, very outward thing and a very necessary thing. Without students, we wouldn't be here. But subtext in what it means to prepare students is how we work with each other, how we collaborate with one another, how we interdepartmentally build community, basically how we support each other as we're serving the students, I think is something that we can always improve on. And it's in these sort of collaborative ventures that becomes really, really beautiful. And students get to see, hey, you know so-and-so? Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of proactively trying to grow in that area. So, okay, let's see if anybody else has a question. Anybody have a question you can direct it to one person specifically or to the group and see who wants to answer it? Any questions that were raised in your mind? Yeah.
Javier, what is your last name? And tell me the name of the professor and spell it for me.
There you go. He's a teacher. Yeah. He knows how to teach.
And was it the essay that he was referring to?
Well, my last name is Monzon. And the Ukrainian professor was way more renowned.
There you go. There you go.
This is my struggle every day.
Every time that happens to me, I go throw it away in the trash. I'm just like, okay, back to the trash, because it happens all the time.
The Ukrainian professor is who's of way more renown.
You did put your name above his.
Dobshansky.
Thank you.
And then, didn't you name the essay? Wasn't there a name to that essay you were referring to? The four-page?
What's your question?
What was the
title of the essay?
Title of the essay is Nothing in Biology Makes Sense Except in the Light of Evolution. I have the PDF of it. It's a 1973 essay. It was a little hard to find it, but I have it, and I could share it with you if you give me your contact information.
I would love for some of you to talk to Javier afterwards, too, because one of the things he studies that's really, he didn't even get time to go into this, is coyotes. And, this is what a great place to study coyotes. We have them everywhere and everything. And then I heard that when we had mountain lion sightings this semester, you and your students were out there setting up cameras and looking for the mountain. We had, a lot of mountain lion sightings, the most, I think, in Pepperdine history this year. Yes. So the biologists were having a heyday, really. Yeah, a field day, whatever we call it, yeah. Okay, another question back here.
Again, from Mr. Monzon, would you recommend Teilhard de Chardin?
Oh, Dobshansky was a great fan of his. I think they were friends, actually. And in the essay, he mentions some of his, he quotes Desjardins. Did I say it right? Desjardins. Who's a philosopher, right?
He was a Jesuit priest and also an anthropologist and physicist.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah. So he was a Jesuit and...
He was one of the discoverers of Peking Men.
That's right.
Yeah, Brad.
You kind of addressed this a little bit. I have a daughter who's interested in ministry. Is there opportunities to serve and to lead while you're on campus and stuff?
Yes, that's me. Okay. My eyes are just that good. Yes, there are many opportunities to lead on campus. So what aspect of ministry or just in general? Any particulars?
Well, I mean, she enjoys speaking and doing different things.
Yeah, that's sweet. So there's a lot of different ways to be involved in ministry on campus. The two that most immediately come to my mind were obviously the two that I was most involved with. But they have the Well on Thursday nights, which Dusty actually heads up. And they have a lot of rotating speakers. That's still correct, right? And then... music worship team as well, and they have a lot of students that help to put that on, that intern for that community, that that work to promote the event and to run it. And then there's also Friday morning, which is part of the convocation office, which happens once a week. They have Wednesday morning, which is staff led, and then Friday morning chapel is all student led. So they have student speakers every week. They have student band, and there's also a few directorship programs for students that are in charge of that. So me and then two other of my friends, when we were seniors, we were running that and then passed it down to other friends who are running it now. So so those are two pretty church service orientated ways to serve, but there's also many, like Project Serve happens during spring break, which is more missions orientated, and there, I'm sure you were involved in other ministry things, mm-hmm. correct?
There are also like student-led ministries, so Celebration Chapel, which is the Friday morning service, and that also is part of the combo program, but it's also a student-led ministry. There are several other student-led ministries, like Bible studies and other different kinds of gatherings as different ways of worship, and so those are other parts to get involved in, and then, you know, she could work her way up to leadership positions if she wanted to. So there are a lot of different opportunities for students to get involved, and those are great because you also get mentored at the same time, and that's something the Office of the Chaplain really values is students leading other students, certainly, but that's kind of like the blind leading the blind if there aren't mentors that are constantly feeding down the ladder. So it's great for students to be, whatever artist, I don't even know what that means, of feeding down the ladder. going
that's
down
like
the
biology or something. I don't know. Yeah.
So students are always ministering to other students, but we also want adults to, you know, the adults on campus, faculty and staff, to be ministering to those students. And of course, many of those adults have their own mentors as well. So.
Yeah. One of the things, oh, go ahead and finish.
Circle back really quickly to, because you said speaking, Celebration is a great place for students to learn to speak. They construct a whole message, and then they run it by Lauren, who's the boss of the whole thing. She's a staff member, and she give them advice, make them speak it to her, kind of teach them what goes into preparing a pretty short sermon. It's like 12 minutes or story or whatever they're sharing that week. And then they share it on Friday mornings, and they'll get feedback as well. So it's pretty sweet.
We actually moved this year to where students have to apply for those positions of speaking, and it was so competitive. So many students wanted to do it, but then they were mentored by the people in the religion division, people in my office, and then as a cohort, they were prayerful for each other. As a group of eight, I believe it was, eight people who were learning how to speak in a ministry context together. And so that was kind of a pilot program we did, but it was kind of exciting to see how many students wanted that experience. We also had a program called Character, which we haven't mentioned yet,
which freshman students, first-year students could sign up for, and they had to apply for it, and they just simply wanted to grow in being people of character. And we had more applications than we could take. We had all these spots that we filled. And every week they met with different people on campus to learn what it means to be a person of character and to have values and what the Christian life has to do with that. And so that was really kind of good because a lot of times when freshmen get here, there's not something really specific for them like they alluded to. Sometimes you have to kind of work your way into leadership positions, but this is something we added so that students could start out first thing if they wanted to and be a part of the character program. It was highly successful in you know our assessment of it and everything. So I do want to make sure we stop on time, but and also for any of you, if you want to come talk to anybody who spoke today and you just have a particular question you want to follow up, you'll have a few minutes before you get down to the field house. I did fail to say that Stacy Rouse also works in our office. She's back here, and you heard Chris mentioned. Chris works in our office. And Lauren, who's been mentioned several times today, her grandfather passed away, and so she's at a funeral today, and she couldn't be here, but she's beloved and a big part of what we're doing. So anyway, thanks for being here and showing interest.
Thank you.